on purpose. Did that break your eardrums back there? Let's see if I can do this again. I'll be honest with you. That this isn't why this fell off, but I'm nervous this morning. And I don't know why, but I am. I enjoy my time here that I, when I was a student here, the memories that I had, the friendships that I've made, have been great. I have kept in contact with several of the guys that I actually went to school with. And my daughter, sorry, I have to do this, honey. Okay. But she's sitting over there on my right. I won't make her stand up, but to her left is, Shannon Monday, big white haired, somewhat on the lack of handsomeness side. She's sitting two people away from him. And anyway, she's with me. We've had a good time. At least I have. I don't know if she's had a good time or not. I have dragged her, whatever, all over the place, looking at things that, and some of the things aren't there anymore. Places I used to work and the buildings are gone. And I'm like, hey, right up around this corner, I used to work here, and get there and it's not there. Well, I promise you, I used to work there. So I don't know how much she's enjoyed it, but I have. Went to church yesterday at Carson, and there were still quite a few people there who remembered me, had no clue I was coming. So some of them did a double take. That was fun, too. But I've had a good time, and it's an honor to be back here today. I am nervous about it, though, but anyway, I am honored to be invited. You're in a good place. You really are. You're in a place where God wants you, and he wants you here for a purpose. And when that purpose is fulfilled, he wants you to do something else. So, you know, stay close to the Lord. You can backslide here. You really can. You can backslide in any, but not just because this is a particular Bible college, but anywhere. Your Bible can become nothing more than a book that you're reading just like the rest of them. And I can say that from experience because it did for me. You had to read the Pentateuch in Dr. Childs' class 3 times. And, you know, other classes had to read them through a couple times. And by the time you get done reading them, if you're not careful, you're just reading them. And, you know, it's easy to do, whether you can understand that or not. It really is. So stay close to the Lord. Stay in the Word of God, not as a textbook, okay, as your book for life. And God will clearly show you what he wants for you. Some of you may be getting ready to graduate, and you really don't know yet. I mean, you know the ministry area that God wants you in, but where are you going to go? How are you going to know that's the place? You'll know. If you just walk with the Lord the best you can, you will know. I promise you, you'll know. God doesn't want you making a mistake any more than you want to make one. And he will not let you do that. Joshua chapter number 1, not an unfamiliar chapter at all, but Joshua chapter number 1, verses 1 through 8. I got to do this, and I hope the girl that I do this to, I understand Roland Mills has a daughter here. Where are you? You know what? I thought it was either you or somebody else. I got it right. I really did. I'm not just saying that. Charity, right? All right, well, don't disappear before I get to say hi to you. All right? Her dad was a great friend of mine in school. We supported his ministry up in Buffalo. We had to stop supporting about a month ago, not because of anything he did, but our church is just going through that. And I don't know what else you can do. But anyway, hopefully the Lord will turn that back around. There's ups and downs in the ministry. And don't overemphasize the downs, okay? It just makes you not feel well, gives you stress. Just focus on the Lord. He knows what he's doing. And eventually it'll turn around for us and things will take off again. I will say I've been there since 99. Been a long time. I thought about that when somebody asked me how long I'd been there. Since 1999. Started the church that we're in. We got there late 99. Started the church we're in 2000. So we've been there 12 years. We've seen a lot of people get saved through our Bible schools, Patch Club, some of the visitation. The Lord is blessed. We're running somewhere in the 40s right now, which is down. We've been in the 60s or 70s. We just have a little storefront, and if you were ever in there, you would wonder how we ever got 60 people in there. Well, it was, you know, the fire marshal came through and inspected us one time and just told us that, you know, you can have a capacity of 50. Well, at that time, we had more than 50. I said, do you really expect me to tell number 51 they can't come? Because I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. We got 2 doors, and we will just trust the Lord. She just laughed. But she said, well, that's what I have to tell you. So anyway, that's what she told me. But it's been good. It's been bad. Or I won't say bad, but it's been up. It's been down. It's been encouraging. It's been discouraging. That's the way it goes. You know, it just does. But in those discouraging times, you latch on to the Lord and he carries you through. and He'll carry you through. You're in a good spot, and this is a good week. You will look back and like finals week. I promise you. I did. I liked finals week during finals week. But anyway, it just didn't bother me. Bothered my wife because all my papers that I waited till the last minute to write, she had to now type. She didn't have to, but she chose to. She was a good wife for me. She helped me get some of those grades because she did my punctuation. I just put a period at the end. That was pretty much punctuation for me. She took care of the rest of that and did a great job with it. Praise the Lord for her. I've got a good wife. I've got a great family, 6 kids now. I know it's been fun to see some of you that I have not seen for a while. And it's been good. This is a good school. It was the best place for me to be. I prayed about coming here before I ever came. And when God clearly showed us this was a school, doesn't mean I was a good student. Doesn't mean I was a model student. I was just a student who sometimes spoke too much. but anyway, I did enjoy my time here. And I am thankful the Lord brought me here and gave me the friends that He's given me. All right, Joshua chapter number 1. Now, I've gotten older since I was here. As much as my pride hates it, I have to put these things on. So anyway, Joshua chapter number 1, verses 1 through 8 we're going to read here this morning. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto you this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the privilege that it is to preach your word, Lord, and preach it here today. I pray, Lord, that everything I say would bring glory and honor to you. Lord, there's nothing in myself I have to say that'll help anybody be a blessing to anybody whatsoever, unless you say it. And Lord, I pray that everything I've studied, everything I've prepared to say, Lord, would be as led by you, and Lord, that you would dictate this service this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I don't normally title my messages, but I felt compelled to when I came back here because of some of the classes I had, and I had to come up with titles. My wife did some of that too. So anyway, I was never all that good at that. But anyway, I titled this message. I preached this at our church, usually after a revival. Not every revival, but after a revival. And I call it Now What? You're at a point in your life, some of you are getting ready to graduate. The last week, you're going to be here. You've waited for it. You came here as a freshman, you saw the graduating class that year graduate, and you may have wondered, man, I wonder if I'm ever actually going to make it there. You know, the thought may cross your mind. Or along the way, you're married, you're working a full-time job, you're taking a full-time load, and you're really busy, okay? You don't see much of your kids, and I praise the Lord for my family and my oldest son. I didn't see much of my oldest son while I was here for 4.5 years. But the time that we did have, we tried to use the best we could. He's not bitter about anything. He does talk about a lot that I wasn't around much. Don't remember seeing me too much or us doing a lot. But you're wondering, man, am I going to make it? And you're going to make it. You will. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Let the Lord lead. You'll make it. But then you come to that point. It's over. Now what? For Joshua, it wasn't the end of Bible college for him. But something else for the children of Israel. Way back, God had promised them their own land. And he led them out of Egypt on a journey that took longer than it should have because of their own fault. But still, it took longer than it needed to take. But now they're there. They're on the threshold of being where God intended them to be. Lessons needed to be learned along the way. Trials had to be endured. All of that. Blessings were there. The manna. I mean, there were blessings for them all along the way. Now what? They got to enter that land that God wanted them to have. He didn't intend for them to stay on this side of the river. Two of the tribes did. That wasn't what God wanted, what God allowed. But he wanted Israel, all of them, in that land. He made some promises to them. They needed to possess it. Now they're there. What now? Moses, their leader, is gone. He's dead. He's the one that took them on this journey, led them all that way. His own disobedience forbid him to be able to get in. But now what? Moses is dead. What do we do now? For Joshua, to me anyway, it's a now what moment. So God tells him now what, and God will tell you now what. He says, my servant Moses is dead. Three things I want to look at this morning, because every good sermon has 3 points, right? And a poem, which I don't have. If you want to supply me with a poem, I will use it later if I ever preach this again. But 3 points here I want to look at. The focus is God's will. The anchor is God's promises. The key is God's word. Now what? And those three things to me will get us to that now what stage. You know, I've still had these moments in my ministry of what now, Lord? I mean, I'm here, I'm trying to do what you want me to do, and things are going backwards. This isn't the way it's supposed to go. I mean, I get emails and I see things on TV and on the internet. Guys are doing the same thing I'm doing, and they're growing. Why aren't we? I mean, is there sin in my life? Well, yeah, I sin. There's no sin in my heart that I'm trying to hide from God that would forfeit some of the blessings God wants to give me. So what's going on, Lord? What now? And the Lord brings back, first of all, my will. Just focus on my will. That's all God wants. Listen, there are some things about God's will that we don't have to pray about. You don't have to pray about reading your Bible. You know? You really don't. God's word tells you over and again the importance of reading his word. Right? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, logic would tell you that you're only going to get that word in your heart by spending time in it. Right? Now, study to show thyself approved unto God. Reading God's word is something we don't really need to pray about. We just need to do. Okay? Praying. There again, you don't need to pray about praying. God's word tells you pray without ceasing. So pray. When you're discouraged, pray. I've went to my wife before. I've called Brother Monday a few times for some advice or just to bounce things off of him or maybe whine a little bit. But I do. And I call and I'll talk to my wife. And usually my wife's first comment to me will be, you prayed about it? I've learned after 23 years of marriage this year that before I go to my wife, I pray about it. Because she's going to ask. And I just might as well do this, and you know, so I spend time praying about it. I don't have to go to God's word or pray about it to pray. I know I'm supposed to be praying. And listen, reading God's word, praying, being a witness. You know, you're in a place right now, church visitation, you go, and all the students who come to your church, wherever you go, are there. Right? Unless they're working or whatever. And you get a fairly decent turnout for visitation. You get out into the ministry somewhere, and you have church visitation. It's different. And you really have to preach and teach to your people that we're expected to do this. I've had people that might say, oh, well, you know, I'm praying about it. You don't have to pray about being a witness. We're supposed to be a witness. Those are aspects of God's will that we don't need to pray about. But there are other things that are going to happen in your life. Where are you going to go when you graduate? What door is God going to open? When I came to Bible college in, I don't know, I'm not real good, 93 when I got here, or 92, I went 4.5 years. So whatever the math would be from December of 97, 4.5 years before that's when I came here. Okay? And I thought we came here within our heart. God was leading us to Ireland to be a missionary. Now, Nebraska and Ireland aren't that much different, if you've ever seen pictures. Really, you know, I mean, there's a lot that goes on there. It's the same. There's nothing like Ireland. But that's what I thought God was going to do. Actually, that's what I was going to do. And who couldn't be drawn to Ireland? All I got to do is see slideshow, right? Or my PowerPoint today, maybe. And, oh, yeah, Lord, lead me there. Let some guy come in and show you some desert in Africa. And I'm sure the Lord don't want me there. You know, that just can't be where I wanted to go. It didn't take the first year And I knew I wasn't going there, but I didn't know where I was going. And I went to one of my professors, and I don't remember which one it was now, and I started sharing that with him. He said, here's what I think you need to do. Switch your major from missions to pastoral. Take all your missions as an elective and let God work. And I did. And along that, about that senior year somewhere, I started feeling this tug, whatever you want, leading in my heart of what the Lord was going to do. And he was going to lead us into the pastorate and probably into church planning. So eager to do that, I left Bible college and took the first place it called. There again, that wasn't me. That wasn't the Lord. I really don't think it was. The older I get, the more withdrawal I get from that. But I went. I learned some things. I'm where the Lord wants me now. And I know that. But because of being in God's Word, praying, and doing the things I don't need to pray about, those aspects of God's will, then when God opened his door to show me what he wanted, I could follow his will. That was the next step. Now, God's will, if you're going to missionary to, everybody says Africa, so Africa. It's not like nothing else is God's will until you get there. Really, it's just another step. Okay? That's all it is. It's a big step from our perspective. Just a step. Keep your focus on God's will. For Joshua, God said they were still to enter the promised land. God's will was still the focus. Moses is dead. He's gone. That part's over. But as far as with Moses. But my will is still my will. Get up, enter the land. Everywhere you go, I'll give you. In that land. That was still God's will. God's will is not going to change for you after commencement service. Okay? God doesn't necessarily, he didn't bring you here to stay. He brought you here to train you to go. It's not by mistake. Joshua's in the place he is right now to receive this call from God to lead these people into the land. Joshua just stayed faithful while Moses was doing the leading. He loved the Lord and he obeyed him. And when it came his turn, he knew because God told him he knew. And you will too. But you're not here to stay here. You're here to move on and go do what God wants you to do. And you'll make friendships. It'll be hard to leave some of them. It will. It might hurt your heart, rip your heart out a little bit. But it'll heal and you'll make more friends. There'll be some culture shock even staying in America. I've lived in the Midwest, down here, east, southeast, northwest in Oregon, Nebraska, which is different from Illinois and Wisconsin where I lived. And it's different in every one of them. People are different. They just are. There's culture shock. The Lord supplies those friends that you think you can't do without. Focus on God's will and stay in God's will. Just keep that focus. Don't lose it. And God will show you now what. All right? Secondly, anchor yourself on the promises of God. Look at the promises that he gave to Joshua. And Joshua's starting in verse number 3 there. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. That's quite a promise. There wasn't any part of that land that was not going to be theirs. All of it. And it's theirs today. No matter what politicians want to do with it. I think people just want their stamp on peace in the Middle East and say, I brought that. Well, they're not going to bring it. That land belongs to Israel. And it has and it will, and that's just the way it is. Every place you walk, I'll give it to you. I mean, that's a promise, isn't it? It doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter the obstacles that are there. It's yours. If you walk on it, it's yours. That's a promise. And Joshua was going to anchor on that promise. But there was other promises. There's verse number from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, he's giving him the boundaries there. Even under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward going down the sun, shall be your coast. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Doesn't matter who you meet, who you run into, how big they are, how strong, how powerful, how big the army they got. Nobody is going to be able to stand before you. Because this is God's will. Who's going to stop God's will from taking place? You know, I think every pastor at some point in his life has had a church pastorate where somebody decided they needed a new one. And they didn't particularly want you anymore. So they started trying to work all that out. Listen, if that's not God's will, it ain't going to work. You're still going to be there. And they won't be. Right? Just the way it is. No matter the circumstances, our church has been up, it's been down, it's been able to pay full time, it's not been able to pay full time. The economy is bad, you can't find a job. Always been able to find a job when I needed one. I mean, I really have. Anytime I needed a job, it was there. I never really got money put on my school bill, and I don't begrudge that. I got jobs. That's what I got, but I got good. I'd trim people's bushes, and they'd give me $100. Trim bushes. $100, that's quite a living, isn't it? Make a living doing, probably better living doing that than being in the pastor, maybe. But that's just how God supplied. He's always supplied. And he's making a promise here to Joshua. Nobody's going to be able to stop you. He goes on, he says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. You know, it's not like God's given his power and presence to your professors, but not going to be there for you. The same God that Moses served, Joshua was serving. The same God your professors serve, you serve. God doesn't change. I tell my people all the time, the only difference between Paul and Silas and their ministries, we go through the book of Acts right now, and you and I, is you and I. Because God's saying, these men were not superhuman. They weren't these superheroes that your kids might like. They were just human. Paul, remember Paul and Barnabas were there preaching, and they came out and wanted to worship them. Mercury and Jupiter, they called them. And Paul came out and said, No. We're men of like passion. We're just like you. There's no difference. It's the same God. Now, I don't believe all the promises God gave, like every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that you and I can claim. We bought property for the church. We didn't use this verse. We didn't go out and walk around the property and claim this verse, okay? I think that was a promise to Joshua. You know, I think that's just the way that is. But in the New Testament, we're told that, "Lo, I'll be with you always," right? God told the disciples, keep on reading. Get to the book of Hebrews. Be there too. He's going to be with us. We don't have to pray, God be with us today. He is with us. It's more the question, or more the prayer, Lord, help me be with you today. Help me be where you are. Anchor on that promise. He tells him another promise here in verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God is basically telling Joshua, I made a promise, and I keep them. I don't go back on my promises. You know, we can make promises to each other, and circumstances can prevent us from fulfilling them. Not that we don't want to fulfill them. We just can't. I've learned as a father not to promise my children that, you know what, I might say, Saturday we're going to go to the zoo, and the littler they are, the more excited they get about that. And a promise? Yeah, I promise. And I've learned that I can't say that because it could be stormy. And we're not going in the rain to see the elephants. Now, I've been to the zoo in the rain, and the elephants are more fun in the mud. But it's not more fun to be there. So we don't go. You know, and I've learned I can't control the weather. So I just say, listen, that's where our plan is, to go to the zoo. God's in control of some circumstances, though, that could prevent us from getting there. And I just started trying to teach them when they're little. Car could break down. It could thunderstorm real bad, and we can't get there. And we'll just kind of trust the Lord, we'll go a different day. And then they can handle that. But we can make promises we can't fulfill. And it's not that we're just going back on our word. God doesn't break his promises. And nothing can keep God from fulfilling them. Anchor in those promises. You've got so many promises. Well, and I got so many promises in the word of God. And I'm going to rattle them off here, okay? Hebrews 13:5. We have the promise of God's presence. I will never leave thee. Man, isn't that nice? You ever been where you thought you were all alone? If you haven't, you will be. Even though you've got a house full of kids and a great wife, you're going to think you're the only one. Sometimes that's a woe is me attitude. But still, you're going to be there. But you're not alone. God is there. And He always will be. God's protection is Genesis 15:1. I am thy shield. We have that one, that idea, all through the shield and a buckler, the psalmist writes. To all those who trust Him. Not just in Genesis, to people in particular He's talking to. To all those who trust Him. He'll be our protection. Our source of strength and power. Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen thee. Man. There are times when I don't think I can. There's been times in my ministry where I'm at now. Not even all that long ago where I didn't think I could do this. And I know I can't. I can't preach here today if God doesn't let me. I have nothing to say that will help anybody. I have no words of advice. I've had two interns out. And one of the first things I tell them, I have no words of wisdom for you. I'm learning as I go. I can tell you what not to do, and if you call that words of wisdom, so be it. But I can tell you what not to do. There were things in Bible college I was told, do not say this. I've said it anyway. You know, and I've regretted it. But I have. I've said, door swings both ways if you're not happy. And I've had people use the door because they weren't happy. Well, I invited them to do it. What are you going to do now? You know, I mean, I've stuck my foot in my mouth more than once. God will give us the strength, the power, the provision. You know, Matthew chapter 6 tells us all about God's provision. The catch is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But we have God's provision. God's leading, John chapter 10, verse number 4, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. He leads. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David wrote, God leads us. He gives us His rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. God's cleansing. If we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Psalm 84:11, the goodness of God. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Nothing good. Even when it doesn't seem good to us, it's good. God's given it to us. Trials are good. Discouraging times are just as good as encouraging times. They're good for us. 1 Samuel 12:22, the faithfulness of God. The Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. See, He doesn't do it for your and my sake. For His name's sake. But He won't leave us anyway. He will guide us. He will be faithful to us. Guidance we find in Psalm 25:9, the meek will He guide. God's wisdom. Romans 8:28, in His plan, all things work together for good to them that love God. Everything. I've got a lady back home right now. I don't know, they might be watching on the computer. Her name is Lee. You can pray for her. She's very close to being in the presence of the Lord. It's hard. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I woke up this morning. I got a text last night that told me that she wasn't doing well. Didn't know she'd make it. And I felt guilty. I wasn't there. Maybe I should be there and not here. She told me it was an honor for me to be able to go, and I should go, and she knows where she's going, and it is it's encouraging to me. I go to be an encouragement to her, and she's an encouragement to me. You know? But she's that close. She could be in the presence of the Lord at any time. And her family knows this verse. All things work together for good. And it's true. They do work together for good. And we find God's promise in His wise plan for our life. Listen, these are just some. These aren't all the promises in the Bible. But my point is this. Anchor yourself to those promises. The promises of men, they fail. And they don't even mean for them to, but they fail. How many politicians have you heard make promises? Sometimes they never intend to keep them things. They just want to vote. I remember when George Bush Sr. said, read my lips, no new taxes. And I looked at my wife and said, that was stupid. There are people going to vote for him because of that line right there, and he cannot control that. president doesn't control as much as he likes to think he does. But still, they make promises all the time that they can't keep, whether they intend to keep them or not. But God will keep his. Those are things that we anchor ourselves to, because you're going to need them. Some of you are going to go out on deputation, and you're going to find something sad but true. Churches are not real free with God's money. God's money, not their money. They're not. It's hard. Now, not in my church, it's really not. And I don't know if any of them are listening or not, but it's not. And they know it's not, because they know the love offerings when we give them. And they're good. But I've talked to missionaries and even some of the evangelists we've had through who will be in churches, they get nothing. They got there on fumes, and they're leaving on fumes. They're running up credit card bills, because how else do you put gas in your car? You know, we have an evangelist in every year. He didn't go to school here. I met him. I don't even know how I met him. One of them things. But it ended up being he told me, talking to him. I promise not to get too sidetracked here. But anyway, talking to him, I said, "Where are you from, brother?" He said, "I'm just from a small town in Illinois you probably never heard of." Well, I'm from a small town in Illinois, so I kind of like that. And maybe I never have heard of it. And I said, "Oh, yeah, well, where at?" Because so am I. And he said, "Mapleton." And I started laughing. He said, "You know where Mapleton is, brother?" "Oh, yeah, yeah. That's where I'm from." He just stopped and looked. "Did you go to Illini Bluffs High School?" "Yeah, class of 83. And he was class of 75 or whatever. So he's an old man. But anyway, he's in the ministry. He's a good preacher, good evangelist. And, of course, we hit it off right there. You know, he grew up in the same town, went to school with his sister. And, you know, it's fun. They come out every year. We have a good time. But when we have people out, we put gas in their vehicle when they get there. We make sure they're on full when they leave. We put them in a motel. We take care of everything. We let them stay with people, whatever. We just take care of them. We have a group out from Ambassador. We give them a check, send back for school, and then we take a love offering. And we divide it amongst the students. So if they get a day off, they can just go blow money. Okay? Or they can be responsible and put it on their school bill. Not what I would have done, but that might be what some of them would do. That's what we do. But when I talk to him, he'll say, "You know, you're the only church we go to that does this for us." You're going to find that out. And you're going to anchor yourself to the promises of God. He'll provide. He'll be with you. He'll watch you. Your car will break down in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska. And you'll call a preacher and say, "I know somebody." And you might call and you might not get any help. But God will provide. Because he always does. And you're going to need those promises. So anchor them to. Someone once said this: you cannot break the promises of God by leaning on them. You cannot do that. So anchor yourself to them. And let God show you what he'll have for you. You know, I told you I thought we were going to Ireland when we got here. After we got here and we realized that wasn't it. When I left here, my last semester here, I was preparing myself to go with Northwest Baptist Mission and Wally Higgins to plant a church in Botno, North Dakota. And I ended up in Hood River, Oregon. Well, so much for that idea. God knows what he's doing. Got up to Hood River, Oregon. It's a whole different culture, a whole different people. One of my professors, I called back talking to him. And he said he had a friend up there in Boring, Oregon. Name of the town. But he did not call his church Boring Baptist Church. He took the name of the town across the highway that I can't remember. Now, his church was in Boring, but he called it, whatever this other town was, Baptist Church. I said, "Well, the difference between him and me is I'd have called it Boring Baptist Church, but that's just me." I would have gotten a kick out of that myself. But either way, he told me, "You got two groups of people up there," and he was right. You have people who have made it on their own. They don't need God. And you have people who moved, because it was this mountain community, who moved there to get away from you. And here you are. And he was right. And you anchor yourself to the promises of God. And you're going to be doing that. You've done it now. And I guarantee you, in your time in school, you've done that. And you're going to do it more. And you're going to be doing it without your dorm mates being able to chew their ear off about it and have them pray with you, which helps. You're going to be alone, leaning on those promises of God. And those are special times. They really are. They increase your faith abundantly when God delivers. And he will. You keep yourself where you're supposed to be spiritually, God will deliver on his promises. Every time. And then lastly, the key. The key to the whole thing. Always the key. God's Word. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. For Joshua, the Bible was not what we have today. It wasn't all complete yet. Right? But he did have God's Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You're going to know it. You're going to stay in it. You're going to live it. You're going to observe to do everything that is written in it. You're going to obey it. Same thing is true for you and I. This is the key to everything you're ever going to do for God. And if you don't do it through this, it won't matter what you're doing. It will not matter. Say, well, you might have your name in a marquee somewhere, in a periodical. There you go. Your picture on there with a sermon. But you're not doing it for God. It's not going to matter when you get there. Everything you ever wanted out of that article, you got while you were here. That ain't what I want. That's not what I want. It's not. I want it when I get there. Do I want blessings here? Well, yeah, I do. I don't want to just have a life full of trials and heartache. I want blessings, and I get them. Far more than I deserve. Gary Norris's favorite line whenever I ask him how he's doing. Better than I deserve. Well, he's right. It is better than he deserves. That was a joke. That went over well. Wow. Anyway, hope Gary wasn't watching that one. Expected a better laugh out of that one. But anyway, no. Better than I deserve. Stay in God's Word. Every day of your life, there should be a time when it's just you and God. And it's you and His Word. Get your little journal, notebook, whatever. I don't care if anybody else can pick that thing up and make heads or tails out of what you're writing. It only matters between you and the Lord. I don't write outlines I wrote them in school for my professor so I could, you know, I write them now for me. Every A has a B, okay? Even if I have to stretch it. Every A has a B. But still, they make sense to me. I've had people in my church, Pastor, can I have that outline? You're more than welcome to it, but I didn't even do anything out of this outline. You know, I didn't follow it. Not the way I preached, was the way it's written on here. But you're welcome to it. You know? You're better off getting the tape. God's Word. Don't neglect God's Word. For Joshua and the people, success would come upon their adherence to the Word of God. And on nothing else. Not on Joshua's wisdom, not on Joshua's strength, not on Joshua's ability to command a people. On the Word of God. For then, God said, after you have stayed in my Word and you obeyed my Word, then there'll be success. Then prosperity. And not before then. Maybe you're good at leading. Some guys have a natural leadership about them. That's great. But it's not, your success in the ministry is not going to depend on that. It's going to depend on you in this book. That's what you need. That's what I need. God's Word is the key. The work God started in you at salvation is not going to be brought to its fullness without you being in God's Word. Oh, you won't lose your salvation. You still go to heaven. But God had another purpose besides just you going to heaven. He wants you to serve Him. But we can't do that without being in His Word. You're getting ready to graduate, getting ready to leave. You will no longer have to read the Pentateuch 3 times in a semester. Or the poetical books. Twice, I think it was. Twice. And then, on top of that, you're taking other classes and they want you to read through the Pauline epistles. Or whatever. So you're reading all this stuff. You're not going to have anybody telling you got to have it done by a certain date. But you need to do it. Every day. Read, pray, study. Don't just read the words. Study those words. And then how to apply them to you. And grow in God. You're never going to be where you think you ought to. I'm done growing. I've reached it. You're never going to be there. Ever. Not this side of heaven. So you can't stop. But we're never going to do anything that amounts to anything if we're not in God's Word. I want to accomplish great things for God, but then not because I want somebody to pat me on the back. Listen, I came to school, and I did not want to leave school with my professors going, he's out of here. Good grief, what's the Lord doing there? You know, okay? Maybe they did at times, but that's not what I... But at the same time, I wasn't looking for a bunch of accolades and pats on the back. This is what we try to do here. So I guarantee you that's not going to happen. But still, that's not what I wanted either. But I did want them to just look at me as somebody who just wants to serve the Lord. He gets in his own way more often than he should. But he's just trying to serve the Lord. Because that's all I'm trying to do. I don't know what will come of it. I mean, I don't know how big my church, the Lord's church that I'm pastoring in Nebraska, I don't know how big that'll get. I hope it'll run 200-300. I hope we dwarf the E-Free church. I do. That would be a hard job to do in our town, but still, it's bigger than the Catholic church. Or the Lutheran churches. There are 9 Lutheran churches in a town of 25,000 people, and they all run 100, 200 people. How? I have 2 independent Baptist churches, me and 1 other guy, and both of us can't get to 50. Well, there's a reason for that, I think, but still. I don't know how big it will get, but I know this. Nothing will happen that matters if God's Word is not the key. In my life and in the ministry of our church, it's the Word of God, because that's what matters. So for Joshua, there were 3 things that would bring about the now what. The focus, God's will. The anchor, God's promises. And the key would be God's Word. Those 3 things were going to show Joshua clearly, now what. And it will for you and I too. Because now what is just around the corner for some of you. For some of you, you're about to finish your first year. Listen, if you prayed about being here, you don't need to pray about leaving. Because I don't think God moves us around near as much as we like to move around and claim God's doing it. I don't think God does. I think God's faithful and wants us to be the same. You're not done yet. You're not ready. Some guys leave after the first year and go start a church somewhere. And I would just say, you better be very sure that's what God wants you to do. Because most of the things you need to learn, they'll never teach you in class. They can't. They can tell you about them, but you got to learn them. You got to be there. And the more you get in class and in chapels and in your Bible, the better prepared you'll be. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege again to preach. Pray, Lord, that it was a blessing to somebody that might be able to use in their life. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the rest of the day in the classes. And this is finals week, Lord. Give them all the students clarity in their minds as they try to remember the things that they've studied, Lord, to get the grades that would be honoring to you, that are worthy of the time they did study. Lord, I pray your blessings now on this beautiful day you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.